Welcome back to Grow with Purpose podcast. I'm Samantha, your host today, and I am here with Fu. So I am really excited to interview Fu because I looked at his profile. He's got some really cool stuff going on. So I want to talk to you first and foremost about just who you are as a person. So tell me where you're at, what you're doing, and how'd you get here?
I'm originally from Puerto Rico, so my full name is James Fu Torres, and I go by Fu's first part of my last name. Two last names because that's how we do it in Puerto Rico, my dad and my mom's. To give you a little bit of backstory about that name is my great-grandpa was Chinese, moved to New York. My great-grandma was Puerto Rican, and she moved to New York, like a lot of Puerto Rican and Chinese people, and they met there, and that's how... My grandpa was born in there, but then they moved back because my grandma died when my grandpa was 2 years old. So that side of the family, I know anything about. So literally just planted the seed in that last name. And then from there, wouldn't know anything else. So now fast forward, right? Like my family was completely born and raised from Puerto Rico after my grandpa. So from there, I grew up in Puerto Rico until I was 23 years old. I was in college, studying engineering, and I wanted to just be independent. I was like, look, I had good grades and everything, but I just wanted to do something full time and something, just move out of my house and just become a independent person. So that's how I signed up with the Air Force, went full time, you know, went active duty, signed up for 4 years, and that's where I become a radar technician. And I traveled the world. I went to Syria, Kuwait, Qatar, Turkey. And then after just doing all that and to deployments, then that's when I decided that I wanted to do something more fulfilling, look for something that will fit my lifestyle, which I found the agency model. And then fast forward to that, now I'm full-time in my agency, and this is what I do now. So.
Oh my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you for your service because like you definitely are amongst the few that are willing to go on, put your life on the line for our country. And I appreciate you. So you said that you did 2 tours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. I've had friends in the past who like capped themselves out after one and was just, I mean, they have stories for miles. So it's definitely a crazy journey. So from what I gathered on your Instagram, you're 29 now?
Yes.
Okay. So you and I, we're flexing the same age here. So that's cool. So when it comes to being an entrepreneur, is that something that like your family, you talked mostly about them being immigrants to the country. So you were raised in Puerto Rico, which is a part of America, but your dad coming from Asia, like how did they do entrepreneurship themselves or what did that look like for you as a kid?
So it was my great grandpa. So obviously a little, couple of generations back. So I don't know anything about that part. My grandpa, he was he had his own business of food and music by the beach, you know, so it was obviously that was something that it was an inspiration for sure. My uncle, he also has his own business with security cameras, fire alarms, and that was also something that it was very inspirational for me. I mean, I saw the life that he still has. I mean, he's still, I look up to him and I was like, look, I always wanted to have my own business. I mean, I remember being a kid in school, like elementary school, and finding ways to make money, to buy candy and, you know, like, you know,
hustle, challenges hustle culture.
And stuff, you know, yeah. Since I was in elementary school. So yeah, that's,
okay. So it goes. So you've got the hustler blood, like you've been doing it. I relate with that. I've been doing the hustle grind since I was about 11. So I feel you. Okay. So when it comes to being in the agency, so you say you came across the agency model. For the listeners that have no idea what that means, can you kind of dive into a little bit about what you're doing with your agency model so that we have a really clear niche?
Initially, when I I wanted to do a business that fit my lifestyle. So what I wasn't committed to anything. I was just like, look, let me just look what would be that model that would fit my lifestyle. And while looking for that, I found I found myself need whatever I needed to do, I needed to drive traffic to it. So that was like how I got into a marketing agency, because it's like, look, I need to learn about SEO, lead generation, and PR. Which ended up investing on a coaching program that taught me how to do SEO, lead generation, and PR. So PR, public relations, was something that stood out the most for me, because I like the storytelling. I like the authority and visibility, the sharing the why more than the how, and the public relations rather than advertisement. Like, that part I really liked it. Not that I consider that advertisement and SEO, search engine optimization, very very valuable, but I just like to start on that side because I like to hear the stories of people. So that's how I then decided, look, if I'm going to start an agency where I don't know anything about, I will commit to just do one thing first. So then I committed to public relations as the main thing first. And in there, I started with doing as simple as doing like press releases with people. And when I went to this coaching program, they already have somebody there that could do interviews and write the article. And then with me together with the client, I can work on the draft. And then we distribute it through a newswire that they have a preferred newswire too. So then they provided those things for me. So that was the easiest way for me to be able to, you know, get clients fast, because I already have that fulfillment taken care of. So then it was just a matter of branding myself, lead generation, right? And then just closing calls. Just get people like that. Look for people that will benefit from being in Yahoo or Business Insider, or just do press release that landed on multiple publications like that. And that's it. So that's why I liked it, because it was a matter of like, look, you make sales. You know, even if you don't have a website, you can go and start making sales, right? Yep. So that was the thing. I was about like speed and taking action. That's what I like, and learning along the way. So that's kind of like the motto that I started with.
I love that. Okay. So what would you say, going back a little bit, because you come from that military background, what are some skills that you learned being in the military for as long as you were that you've been able to implement as an entrepreneur?
This is something that I learned in the military that I really like to say a lot, is embrace the suck. Embrace the suck.
Love it.
It's a common phrase. I even have it in my fridge still. I still have a little thing that they gave me one time. It says embrace the suck, and it's like a military print, and I have it in my fridge still. And that's something that was arguably one of the best lessons that I got from the military, because it's just like, okay, as long as you work together, we have a mission, like we just got to embrace the suck, right? Being in Syria, tent city, and all, like not great internet, all these different things. But it was just a matter of like, look, you know, we're making money here, we're getting experiences, we're doing, and this is a mission for, you know, a greater good and stuff like that, right? Like protection, security, all the different things. So, and just embracing the suck and knowing that you're doing it for a reason, that's kind of what that translated very well to the entrepreneurship, because it's something that, I mean, it sucks a lot of times, you know, because it's a lot of, you say like you go to entrepreneurship to do, I want to have freedom and impact, and I want to work from anywhere in the world. Yeah. But then when you're working 24/7, because you need to do, you're wearing all these hats, you're doing all these things, you have all this responsibility. Sometimes you just got to embrace the suck to then be able to get to your actual dream. But first you got to embrace the suck.
So. I love that. It resonates with me a lot, because when I'm working with clients, that's something, I use different wording, but it's something very similar to like this logic that Alex Hormozi put out of like, if somebody's being critical or something is going hard, or if you say, for in my instance, you suffer with anxiety, like I have super bad anxiety. So what? Like this mindset of so what? Like, okay, it sucks, but like, I'm still here. I'm still doing it. I'm still grinding. Cause like the goal and the dream is bigger than what's shitty right now.
Exactly.
So I think that's
you get the framework. It's just like we use different language because of different backgrounds, but
exactly,
framework is the same.
Exactly. I love that. I think that's awesome. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about how on your Instagram it says you got featured in Forbes. Tell me about that. What was that experience like for you? Because I know that there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, especially ones that watch this, they're like, Forbes is a big name. Like, that's a big name drop. So what was it like to be able to be featured with them and work with them on a piece?
So initially, the way that I was able to even get there, the connection even, just to start it, was I'm always out there, right? Like, I'm always looking I'm always sending messages to connect with people, LinkedIn, Facebook, anywhere, right? So I was just, I'm always looking to connect with people in the media and to add value to them. So I just kind of stumbled upon this person by, I guess, with my searches. Maybe I got like tagged with like an ad or something. And then I saw this person that she was doing, she was teaching how to like pitch the media and stuff. That's a classic thing, right? So, and then when I connect, when I look for her, like, oh, look, she's a contributor in Forbes. So then I find my way like looking for like her website and stuff. I search her up until I found a way to like get a call with her. And it was like, I found like a 15-minute link on her website. So I went through there and it's like, hey, like, look, I'm just looking to build a relationship. If you're anything that I can help you with, you know, I have certain clients that could be great assets for you. So I led with those things. So, you know, I have also a few impressive clients. So it's like, hey, we can, I was working on a piece for like this, like build a dining company. So I was like leading with that. And she's like, okay, you know, sounds good. Send me the draft, you know, pitch it to me and blah, blah. So I pitched that. She liked it. We started there. And then from there, I started talking with her and be like with my other client saying that we have an event. If you're willing to co-cover it, I will fly you there. And like my client was gonna, you know, I'll pay for your flight and stuff. We'll have you there so you can cover it and pay your stay. And then I went and flew there to be in an event with my client. And then we separated. We were already there. So we separated a little studio area. We did a couple interviews. And then out of those interviews, that's what the feature for me and then feature for my client and stuff were born, right? We were already covering an event. So we just took that opportunity to make interviews. And then from that, that's where those stories were born. And my feature was born out of that experience. So that's how I was able to get there, right? It's just, it took some time building relationships, adding value, getting the people in the right place, right? This was a lot of finesse, let's say, to be able to.
A lot of finesse. Very, you know, how are the kids saying it? Is it, no, it's not drip. That's not the right word. They have like lingo for it now. When you do something super fancy, my kids will come home. I have four kids and my oldest will come home and she'll have some new word that just means really cool, ultimately. And it gets me every time. Okay. So with working with Forbes and that experience, would you say that working in media in general is a lot more relationship focused and building relationships with people to keep those connections versus like happenstance?
Versus what?
Happenstance, like just happening.
Look, there's a common saying one of my clients says too is like, if you fail to plan, you're planning to fail. So that happening stance is just, you know, are you just waiting to be lucky? Like, you know, like,
right.
So that's not a real plan or strategy or anything. I mean, there's a lot of things that we cannot control, right? And we should be okay with certain things that we cannot control. But the things that we can control, like we can control going out there and making relationships. We can control being intentional. We can control adding value and being the best possible communicator that we can, you know, being a valuable person and being educated, all those things, those are things we can control. And that's what I advise, because that, you know, that's what I do. I'm always like, mm-hmm. how can I level up my person? How can I level up my connections so I can be a valuable person? So when I go to a room, mm-hmm. I can offer value, regardless if I'm the youngest in the room. Mm-hmm. So that's often the case. I'm always looking for being the youngest in the room that can still provide value, but I'm also there. Like, I love learning from my clients. I love learning from mm-hmm. every room that I go. Like, I love being the youngest in the room, because often I have a lot of room for learning from those people. So that's what I would say. It's just to be very intentional about relationships. If you have no money, you can have people currency, and that's extremely valuable. So just go out there, shake hands, and you know, offer sweat equity. You know, that's something like a lot Absolutely. Of people say, right? You know, if you don't have money, then sweat equity. Like, say, like, you have money, I have time, and I'm willing to work hard for you. And then mm-hmm. a lot of people would be like, there's a lot of people willing to throw money for people that were willing to work hard. So just work on that.
Absolutely. I think that that's great advice. And I would say that across the board, I mean, in any type of business venture, like, you want to be shaking hands, and you want to be shaking as many hands as you can, because the more connections that you have, the better chance you have at, like, ending up with a seven-figure, eight-figure business. I mean, if you look at the way that Trump, being the leading icon in the country when it comes to business, like, he knows so many people. The man networked himself so well. And so even in entrepreneurship, I feel like that's really important, to just master the art of networking. Okay, so when it comes to the difference between PR and having a marketing strategy, so how would you either differentiate them or blend them together? Like, do you think that they're, like, coupled together or done differently?
So, you know, and this is something about, like, language and it's a matter of establishing what do we mean, right? Because marketing, PR is a branch of marketing, right? But then mm-hmm. there's also could be said as like, oh, like, just marketing something rather than working on, like, the story and stuff, right? Like the advertisement and stuff. So it's a matter of, like, the language. So the way that I use, like, for me, marketing strategy is the big umbrella that covers everything, right? That covers okay. like, how are you doing PR? How are you doing advertisement, and how do you, like, doing even, like, content and like all those different things, right? So mm-hmm. that's how I see it. So the way that I've expanded my practice with the years now has been that I started by doing public relations. I was like, look, I want to just get good at just one thing first, because after yeah. that gets me the foot in the door. So then after that, I started solving other problems for my clients. So from there, I started realizing, oh, okay, I'm not doing just PR. I'm doing marketing mm-hmm. strategy as a whole, because I learned from my clients that were winning and my clients that were not winning, because I was giving them authority and visibility already. But it's if you don't have that foundation to be able to okay, if we're attracting a certain way, but then we're not capturing the leads, we're not nurturing them, we don't have that way that we're going to convert them and have that transition with ease. So then there's no buyer remorse. And then you can turn those clients into raving fans that will yes. do referrals for you or be strategic partners. Right. So though, mm-hmm. when I started looking at the whole, that everything started, like, shifting and getting a lot better, because now what I do is, rather than saying, like, looking for just people that would need PR and will be perfectly prepared for PR, I talk to people about marketing strategy. So we do an assessment where we go in through all those things that I just mentioned and making sure mm-hmm. that the infrastructure is good. And if it's not, then I do consulting and help them to put out everything, like the positioning strategy and what is their goals and where they at, and attach that together on a strategy. And then after we mm-hmm. do that, it's like, okay, PR makes sense at this point now that we're ready. Cool. Let's go now, all, like, pour more fuel to that fire. But we got to get that fire started. We got to make sure that you Absolutely. Have more than just a couple sales. You have a system can support a PR campaign. So that's how I see it. And then the difference between advertisement and then public relations, it's a matter of, like, you know, like, you can do Facebook ads, right? And then just mm-hmm. reach a lot of people with money, But that doesn't mean they're going to convert if they don't connect with you. So that's where the PR side comes into play, because that's where you can tell your story without being salesy and just explain your why and leverage the authority and visibility of other platforms and kind of get like an endorsement from like Forbes or Entrepreneur Magazine or, you know, you name it. It could be even local TV or something. So when you get that endorsement almost, then after that, like, it becomes a lot easier for people to trust you. And when people trust you quicker, then you make money quicker, right? Time is money. So that's how I attach all this together.
I love it. It's like a whole body. Like the way that you just described it all, like describes like multiple different. Yeah. I think that's really good. So with the clients that you work with, do you only do like organic media, or do you operate with ads and things along those lines as well?
So I am not going to pretend that I do everything, right? Like there's some things that I'm really good at, like public relations and SEO and certain things like having a book from idea to best-selling. Those are the things that are very like public facing, authority and visibility. Those are my favorite things that we do in house. But if we need to do video editing, we need to do paid ads, we need to do all these different things, I have referral partners. And then if you bring somebody to the mix and I'm doing the strategy, then that's something that we can plug into. Right. So that's the way that I deal with these things. Cause when I do the marketing strategy, oftentimes, you know, we got to do a Facebook ad strategy, or we got to do YouTube strategy where we're going to need a video editor. I got multiple video editors right now. So it's a matter of which one will resonate better with the client, the style, availability, or if they bring somebody, you know, so that's how I do these things is I start with the strategy and then I can do certain things in house, like, you know, books, getting people in like stages too, like those type of things, branding. I love branding and doing, you know, have an expert in my team. So those are the things that I actually do in house. The other things we bring in experts to do the job.
Okay. I love that. I love the mix of like contractors versus having like people directly on your team or people that you refer out to. Makes, I feel like it's a really good, solid way to run a business without being like required to cover all of the overhead of having like a bajillion employees. So I think it's a really smart way to absolutely build something out that's very scalable, as well as something that can expand very easily by bringing on more contractors or more relationships. I think it's phenomenal. So are you reading anything right now that you want to share? Any books or listening to any audiobooks?
I like How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's one that I'm going through. It's a pretty powerful one. Because I went through it before, but I'm kind of going through it again and just kind of, because it's just, you know, one time, it's not enough.
Not enough.
So that's one that I really like. 100 Million Offers by Alex Hormozi. Obviously, it's a classic. Yes. That's one that I haven't listened to like in a while, but like that's one of those that I'm probably gonna keep going back. And I'm looking forward to his new book. He said it's gonna be called 100 Million Leads.
Yep, I know. So, I was just listening to his podcast about it. I'm so stoked for that book because $100 million offers just rocked me. It was so good. I'm excited to listen to it again.
Yeah, and just one book that I can mention that was very impactful for me was Crush It by Gary Vee.
Gary Vee,
because that's what got me started the journey. Because I the perspective that it gave me. Like, damn, I can do that. Oh, and then those other stories, I can do that. And then I was like, that's what motivated me to open my LinkedIn. And that's how, you know, everything kind of started. Now I have over 9,000 followers on LinkedIn and building all these different things. And yeah, like it's pretty cool that I want to throw it out there. Like it's something that ignited a fire in me to start. So.
Absolutely. Gary Vee's story is insane. And he's such a good speaker. Like I love listening to him.
Very raw.
Oh yeah. Raw is the name of the game for Gary. Like I couldn't say it cussing any all better. The time. Oh yeah, so am I normally. That's me the too. Thing is, like, on my social platforms, I have the mouth of a sailor, but I don't know how explicit this podcast is, so I don't want to.
Yeah, same.
Okay, so since we're on the topic of books, your profile says that you're a 2-times bestselling author. So tell me about that. What book do you have? Look at that.
That's
shameless plug.
Yeah, yes. Be Good, Be Brief, Be Gone. That's the name of the book. My first book with Jason Miller. And then the other one was a book about community. So then building community. And that was a book that was a community book. So it was like I got one chapter and then with other people, and we were an international bestseller. So that's something that it's pretty cool that the thing how Strategic Advisor Board has built such a big community, and we have some talented people. We cross promote each other and all that. So the power of collaboration is what has allowed us to, you know, get a top 1.5% podcast ranked by Listen Notes. That's how we being able to get multiple best-selling books. I mean, Jason, I think, is at like 10 now, 11, and then I'm at 2, you know, a lot of people. So that's how it's a very, very, it's the power of community and collaboration where it has allowed us to do these things and have a bigger impact together.
Absolutely. I think that's amazing. And I think that to the entrepreneur audience, it's so impactful to hear more seasoned entrepreneurs continue to talk about how important it is to have a community, because I feel like a lot of the new entrepreneurs that are coming in, I mean, because we have a whole generation of kids that are becoming entrepreneurs now, they don't have any concept of like what it looks like to build a community. They're just out here selling and or trying to sell. And so it's become this really weird place on Instagram where like we're trying to build communities, but people don't really know how. Like there's not really a lot of resources out there teaching you how to do that. So obviously your book would be a good resource for people to be able to learn a bit more about what community collaboration can entail. Do you have any other resource plugs that could help newer entrepreneurs get an idea of like where to start, or any advice on where to start when it comes to building a community?
What I would say is just you have to have, and this kind of ties back to what I was saying earlier, that you have to offer value. I mean, because building a community, it's not about how can you get these people to serve you, maybe later after you serve them for long enough, but it's how can you serve those people and keep them engaged for them to not only be willing to join in the first place, right? That's like the hook, how you kind of get them in, but how you keep them engaged, how you keep them in. That's another big part of building a community. So just gotta be able to, you know, before you start building a community, start thinking what are you gonna do to add value to those people. And obviously I'm not saying to wait until you have everything perfect and to start.
I mean,
take imperfect action for sure, but be very intentional about adding value, getting valuable people together. And what will be angles that everybody can get behind, or most people, right? Because you want to stand for something that is bigger than any individual. You want to stand for something that a lot of people can get behind. And that's why the tagline of my company is empowering ideas into movements, because it's not about like this godlike figure that I'm trying to push. I'm trying to push movements that a lot of people can get behind. And that's how you can have an exponential impact in real change.
I love that. I think that's a very inspirational, like, I feel like I should write it down on a quote card and like go and post it up on Google. Like more people should see that type of content out there where we're just pushing them to add more value and don't be a sleazeball and have really high expectations of people before you've added value to them. Because I feel like that's what my DMs look like. My others inbox is a whole lot of people asking me for money before they've done anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I get it.
So we are reaching the end of our podcast. We just hit 30 minutes. So let's wrap up this conversation. As an entrepreneur, it takes a lot of time balancing, mental balance, all of the things. So tell me about your productivity and what a normal day in foo world looks like so that the listeners can have an idea of what it looks like in a day in a life of an entrepreneur.
Okay. I would say that your day starts the night before because recovery is extremely important. Like if you're not starting the day before with an unwinding routine that you get yourself ready to sleep so you can have a good night's sleep and then wake up and then being able to be extremely productive the next day, then you're already handicapped by what the time that, yes, that you start the day. So that's the first thing. People have different ways, right? Like some people are night owls, some people are like more morning person. So it's not necessarily about that. It's a matter of getting your rest and recover. So then mm-hmm. you can be, if you go to bed at 12 a.m. and then you can recover for 7 to 8 hours and then wake up and then be very productive, then that's fine. Like for me, I personally like to go bed as early as possible, and meaning like already at 8, like I'm already, okay, I need to start getting ready to bed. Mm-hmm. Like, 'cause I want to go to bed before 9:30, like after 10 is too late for me already. Like, and that doesn't mean that I don't do it sometimes, but that's just the mm-hmm. normal routine that I have for myself. And so I work on those things, get ready for bed so I can get a good night's sleep. Then in the mornings, I wake up, first thing I do is drinking water. That's something that I was recommended by a friend, and then just to get my body going, just get water, you know, wake up, get my system activated and everything. That's like the first thing that I like to do. I like to do yoga too. So then after, you know, I'll just drink some water, go to the bathroom and stuff. Like yoga is a big thing for me. So that's the way that I do exercise, stretch, meditation all together. And then from there, I'm right now, like I try to eat either fruits or yogurt in the morning. If not, then I just fast until lunch. And then I try to do fast meals that are like healthy. I'm not completely like vegan or anything, but I do like some like vegan meals and stuff like that. So I try to eat like that, or I eat good at least twice a day. Not much like snacking and everything. And that allows me to, look, I eat good and then I just dedicate a lot of time to work. So that's kind of like, okay, make sure that I'm rested. I'm good now. I feel good mentally and physically. So now I just dedicate hours to work and then I don't get distracted. That's why I don't snack or anything, because I'm just like trying to be focused. And it's like taking break to like go to the bathroom or something, or walk around mm-hmm. or something, but just like I'll do a lot of focus work. And then after that is a matter of, if I'm losing energy after the lunch, I use a lot of, this is a hack that I'm telling people for energy. So this is called like Unicity. It's a brand called Unicity in matcha. It's like matcha tea, but in powder. And that's what I've been drinking, by the way, and during this podcast.
So okay.
I was kind of like, because I woke up early, then I went to bed, and then I woke up again. And then so mm-hmm. I started drinking this, and like, this is the thing that has given me like the most energy ever, like more than coffee, more than anything. So that's just one of my hacks for energy. And that's how, you know, I've been, stay productive with things like this and sleeping very good, doing yoga. Those are like kind of like my productivity hacks.
Awesome. I love that. Okay. So as we are at the end, tell me where the audience can find you and what do you have on the table right now that they can buy from you?
So, People can find me by either my name, like James Fu Torres, Fu is F-O-O. James L. Fu, that's like my username on all social media. Instagram's one of like the easiest ones because best DM capabilities, right? So
absolutely.
That's a good one. And then when it comes to like what people can buy from me, I mean, if you want to go, you want to have go to a speaker course that guarantees that you're gonna land on a TEDx, that's something that can connect with me. I can definitely get you a TEDx talk and a course that can land you there. Like I can get you press releases, get you on TV, get you on get you a book, right? Like I can just get you a best-selling campaign and from idea to like bestseller, brandings and just developing your story, your position, strategy. And most importantly, those are just kind of like the productized offers, right? But the most importantly is the marketing strategy. And that's where I start everybody anyway. So I just wanted to make it more concrete, right? With certain like things so people visualize certain of the things that I can do in-house.
Yes.
But yeah, the marketing strategy is the most important thing. So just developing that in the, because after you have, think about it as a GPS, right? Let's set your GPS and make sure that you have all your directions set. Then after that, doing is the easy part.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Fu. I really appreciate it and I enjoyed this conversation. Everybody who's listening, please go take some time. Go follow Fu on Instagram and let's get some connections going. Thanks for having me.